Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence. And now, here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Welcome, listeners. This is Divya. Thank you for joining us. I'm delighted to share I have Caroline Dowd Higgins with us. Caroline is the Executive Director of Career and Professional Development for the Indiana University Alumni Association. She leads a global career enhancement and leadership development program, empowering IU alumni through their professional lives. With over a decade of career and professional development experience, Caroline authored the book and maintains the blog, This is Not the Career I Ordered, and now it's in second edition. The book showcases her savvy professional development advice and individuals who are thriving after a career transition or reinvention. Caroline writes for the Huffington Post, Elevate Network, and a column for the Chronicle newspaper in Indiana. An accomplished public speaker, Caroline is a member of the National Speakers Association and presents to audiences globally. Her international podcast show, Your Working Life, features guest experts sharing wisdom about life and career, is available on iTunes. She hosts an online series, Thrive, about career satisfaction and health and wellness for women on YouTube. And her website is www.carolinedowdhiggins.com. And please do check it out. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Caroline. Welcome, Caroline. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Divya. Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be with you.
Wonderful. So, Caroline, share with us, what was it that drew you to this career?
Divya, I have to go back a little bit and tell you an interesting story. I am a career reinventor, and I started my career as a professional musician. I was trained as an opera singer, and I sang for about 10 years throughout Europe and the United States. And I thought that that was my dream career, and it was for a good long time, until it became difficult to maintain myself financially. I experienced the life of a feast or famine starving artist. And that wasn't something I was prepared for. So I tell you that because I had a major shift in my career that was unexpected, unpredictable, and provided me a whole new opportunity to reinvent and look through a different lens. So that was the first leg of my career journey. And after that, I very accidentally found the world of career and professional development because I was on a personal journey to figure out what my next move was. And I loved the process so much that I committed the second act of my career to helping others, specifically women, do the same.
Wonderful. Isn't it amazing that how, you know, you're traveling through the journey of life and then you find it that something's not working out. So that does not mean that you just stopped there. You went ahead and reinvented your career, reinvented your life, and you are successful now. And you were successful back then too, because getting the chance of singing opera is so commendable. So do share, what was the experience when you were singing? And how did it feel like? What was the transition like?
Well, the process of singing is something that I still love. You know, I'm definitely a performer at heart. And I think that's why I've transitioned so seamlessly into the world of public speaking, because I definitely enjoy being with an audience and connecting with large groups of people. And I'm just singing a different tune. You know, now I have a verbal message, which is very different. It's about career empowerment, about confidence, which I know is near and dear to your heart as well. But I realized that the career reinvention process doesn't have to be difficult. Mine took longer than it should have because, one, I went into that guilty mode feeling badly about abandoning my musical career, when in fact I wasn't abandoning anything. I was just transitioning to something that was a better fit for me at that time. But I think so many women and men have these transitions that knock them for a loop. So because my transition was not as smooth as it could have been, I really found great joy in helping others on this journey. So it didn't have to be so frustrating and so heartbreaking, because we can all reinvent as often as we wish, and the career world has now enabled us to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I really like what you mentioned, is that, you know, what you were doing was you were transitioning. You did not abandon your career. You brought the skill sets from the singing career to the speaking career. And it's so fascinating that when you hear different stories, when people are transitioning from one career to another, it's not that you're leaving something behind. It's about taking a look at the previous career, the existing career, and the next career you want to go to. There are so many skills that can be transferred. So Caroline, what should we expect from our careers? Isn't work supposed to be a chore? Aren't we supposed to just get through the day and life for those 3 weeks of vacation every year?
You know, I chuckle when you say that, because yes, some people do find it a chore, and they really find the word work, you know, the absolute definition of something difficult to do that is frustrating. I know that bad jobs happen, you know, not best fit careers happen, bad bosses, bad colleagues happen. But Divya, I really, really believe that suffering is optional. You know, we have so much suffering in the world that is beyond our control. We have a lot of control over our careers, and we spend so many hours in a day, so many weeks in a year. I mean, you mentioned 3 weeks if we're lucky for vacation. We often spend more time with our work colleagues than our families. So my goodness, we deserve to be happy. We deserve to be playing to our strengths, and we deserve to be gratified by our work. So yes, you can find that. But you have to be persistent, tenacious, really honor yourself, and look for things that honor your skills, strengths, and values.
Honor yourself. I really like that, because that definitely ties into something that I was looking at today at Pinterest, and I saw this quote and I went ahead and published it on my social media. It said that it's a choice whether you want to be miserable or whether you want to be strong and happy, because the amount of work that goes into both is the same.
Yeah, I think you're so spot on. And, you know, people that are suffering are expending a lot of energy suffering. But my point is, you do have so much power and so much control, but it's up to you to activate that. And, you know, deflect the negative and focus your energy on the positive. And I really believe that there are some wonderful, healthy, engaging work environments. I'm in one myself, in my day job and in my freelance career. And I've worked with thousands of women who are thriving in their career. So it can happen, but it takes effort on your part. You have to be proactive, not complacent.
That is the key. It's about you can have skill set, you can have the knowledge set. The key is to have the action set. It's about taking the action. So Caroline, you did mention that as you were transitioning, you really wanted to help people in the career reinvention. So how did you go about becoming a career and executive coach, author, and speaker? And that too, you have such a brilliant career doing that.
You know, I'm so glad that you asked, Divya, because so many people say, well, how did you make that transition? And I will be clear and say it didn't happen overnight. So as a musician, I earned an undergrad and a master's degree in music. So it was very, very focused, very specialized. I speak half a dozen languages, and I had great performance experiences, and I believe I had great communication skills. What I didn't realize is that I also had these tremendous writing skills. And I was able to put those into action. And my communication and my persuasion and my ability to work with people and help people was a natural competency that I just wasn't leveraging in my musical career. So I knew that I needed some credentials. So I went back and did a lot of workshops. I earned many certifications in the career development realm. For example, I administer the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, the Strong Interest Inventory. I'm a strengths-based master coach. I'm an executive coach. So these certifications empowered me with very specific skills to help women, because that is the majority of my practice, in their career development journey. Not everybody's looking for a job. Some people are trying to navigate life and career and manage their existing career. Others are looking to become stronger leaders. So all of these additional skills that I was able to weave into what I already knew helped me help others on their career journey.
You said it, Caroline, because it again goes back to investing in yourself. So yes, you have decided to transition from one career to another. However, what that means is it's, again, sitting down, taking a look at your skill sets, your knowledge, and how you can augment those skill sets and competencies and confidence. And competencies and confidence come through by making sure that you're prepared. You have an execution plan in place before you just jump into another career. So I'll share my story as well. I took my set of time as to figure out what was it the next I wanted to do from the corporate career into the entrepreneurial world. And as I sat down and looked at, I found that people were the common thread in my life, and I was doing coaching regardless. And however, it's important to have that official credibility. It's about building the credibility and learning the systems and process and learning the importance of investing in yourself. So I totally agree as to what you did. It's a really good path for people who would like to reinvent their career or transition out.
And, you know, Divya, I would say I consider myself a lifelong learner, whether I'm learning by listening to a great podcast, a great radio show, attending a conference, or listening to an audiobook, or reading some wonderful article. So, you know, we can learn and absorb new content in so many ways. Certainly, I think education is extraordinarily necessary and helpful, but I often say to my coaching clients who have significant experience and are reinventing, they don't necessarily have to go back and earn another university degree. They can enhance a current skill set with other micro learning opportunities. So like you, I think we agree that lifelong learning is just an exciting opportunity.
You're absolutely right. And I really love what you said. It's about the micro learning. It's about being a lifelong student. And when you're a lifelong student, it's about seeking those opportunities. And so many times you can go on different websites like Stanford University,
Yes.
Harvard University, and they have small courses that can augment your skills. And it's, as you said, it does not have to be a full-blown degree because you already have the skill sets. You already have those competencies that you can transfer from one career to another. So that said, until recently, you were coaching law students at the Indiana University. Moore School of Law, which is a top-tier law school nationally. So why do law school students or others who have invested years in studying their intended professions need career coaching?
Yeah, let me give a little backup to that just to contextualize that wonderful experience. So one of my first professional jobs in the world of career development was at Indiana University coaching students. And a few years in, I was recruited by the Indiana University Maurer School of Law specifically to work with law students. And I was director of that career development office. So I had, at any given time, up to 700 law students with whom I was interacting. And I was teaching career development competencies. I was helping them interview, seek out career opportunities that matched their values. Not every law student wants to work in a law firm, for example. But that process is extremely important because so many American and international students pursue advanced degrees, but they don't always have a specific focus about how they want to use that degree in the career world. So the exploratory concept of what can I do with my law degree was something that I helped many, many law students over a seven-year period unpack. Some wanted to be trial attorneys. Some wanted to work in public service. Some wanted to help underprivileged populations. So every lawyer is completely different in how they approach the career world. And that was a very gratifying career that I am so grateful for.
Thank you for sharing that, Caroline. Did you have any students who wanted to work in one concentration and then while you were coaching them, they found that now they wanted to move into a different area?
Absolutely. And I think one of the concepts that students have that what I'll call adults or, you know, seasoned professionals don't is the opportunity to test drive with internships. Now, they might do something specific over the summer and then come back in the fall and say, you know what, I tried that and I don't love it, or wow, I love this and I want more of it. Now, let me backpedal and say, I think adult professionals should do that because, quite frankly, it is trial and error. And even those of us that are on the seasoned side of the career fence, if we're trying something new and we're transitioning, we need to do those test drives in the form of informational interviews. There's even a popular concept called the returnship, and that is very much an adult internship where seasoned professionals can try out new career opportunities when they're coming back into the workforce after a gap or a sabbatical.
You're absolutely right. So recently I had been doing a speaking engagement at NC State University for engineering students. And it was very interesting to find out, I think it was Pfizer, who does a rotational program where what they're helping the new employees do is, as students come in, they are placed in different segments of the company. And so they are experiencing different areas as to how the workplace, how everything is working. So not only they're getting the whole information as to how the whole company runs, what are the systems, what are the processes, but they're also getting to find out what is the area that really interests them, where they shine out, where are the alignment of their values and skill sets with their job description. So that's something, as you're transitioning out, that could be something that you could look into, which companies offer.
I agree. I think that is such a strategic move on the part of an organization. And I'll take it a step further, Divya, not only because it helps the talent, right, the candidate, understand what they like to do, but it's a way to leverage their strengths. Because when we are playing to our strengths and using our skills in a way that gratify us, we're more productive, we're more engaged on the job, and we're more efficient. And frankly, it impacts the bottom line of an organization. So a strengths-based organization that really focuses on what the individual is good at and how that can solve a problem in the organization is very wise.
It is very wise, and it works both ways. It is such a reciprocal and a win-win situation where the employees are happy, your employees are engaged, and as you mentioned, when employees are engaged and happy, they're more productive. When you're productive, the profits and the bottom line are definitely on the rise, as well as organization is creating a culture where employees feel cherished, where employees feel that their needs are being taken care of, so that mutual relationship goes a long way.
You know, I love that you use the word cherished, because I think it's really poignant, Divya. People want to be recognized in their organization. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the award or the bonus, but it means they want to feel valued, and they want to feel like their contribution matters. And I think that word cherished is particularly special. And you're absolutely right. When we're playing to our strengths and the company also acknowledges that, that is a beautiful thing.
You said it. And when we are talking about valued and cherished, recently I had a conversation with one of my friends, and she works for a company, and what they did was they allowed the Toastmasters group to come in and have the whole series of workshops and also have the Toastmasters speaking classes in the organization itself. So what that did was it allowed the employees to stay back. They did not have to drive. They did not have to fight the traffic. They could stay for that extra hour. And now, not only they were better speakers, but look at the feeling that they got. They felt valued, just so as you were talking about. So based on that, what is your personal experience with recharging your career and reinventing yourself?
Yeah, you know, I think I am a type of person that needs to be intellectually stimulated. I can get bored very easy in a work environment, so I need that challenge and that opportunity to learn new things. I'm gratified by helping people. And in a coaching capacity, you know, every scenario is unique because every individual is unique. So I would say to our listeners, really step back and take some quiet time and think about what does engage you and how do you want to be cherished in your professional life. Again, I love that term, Divya. And really give yourself an opportunity to reflect on that. And when I reinvented, I really took a close look at what I valued. And I realized what was missing in my singing career was the security, which is why I opted for a day job with an organization that gives me that security, the benefits, the salary, the healthcare. I have an entrepreneurial venture on the side, which is vibrant, but far more risky because there's an ebb and flow to that income stream. But my value of stability is met with my job at the university.
So there, you have thought it through, and what you want, both your values, like, you know, having that security and again having that innovation through entrepreneurship, both are met. So it's again, it's having that combination of what is it that you desire. And how are you taking that combination of what you desire and what your values are, bringing it together and aligning them together?
Divya, let me add, too, that values change over time. I know we've got a diverse audience listening, but I want to give an example that may resonate with some. So perhaps our values are different when we have small children and we're raising kids that need a lot of attention and are not yet independent or able to be sufficient, you know, getting themselves dressed or eating. You know, very little ones require a lot more attention. So you might value flexibility in your workforce, or you might decide to take a break from the workforce to raise those young ones. Something may be similar if you're taking care of elderly parents. When you are single or unattached or in a relationship where kids are not an issue, you might be more flexible to travel. So life changes, and so do our values. So I just want our audience to know that values are never to be judged. Everybody has a right to their own values, and they should celebrate them and check in from time to time because our lives change and so do our careers.
Mm-hmm. You are spot on, Caroline, that values change with the situations because what is the need of today may be different from the requirement of the need of tomorrow. And as you mentioned, checking in is the key. It's about reflecting on where you are and what are your values and is your life going in the direction where you want to go. So that is very sound advice. So many times different people talk about that it's very late to find job satisfaction, reinventing yourself. In your experience, do you think is there a point of no return?
I hear that question a lot, and I would say absolutely not. You can reinvent at any time. Now, let me qualify that by saying you also have to be prepared to be adaptive. So, for example, if you're reinventing at 65, you may...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Not hold that executive leadership role in the organization if you're reinventing to a different career. So you need to be realistic about where you are and, again, what you value. But the concept, the process of reinventing can happen at any point in time. And I will say that 65-year-old might be looking at what they call their encore or their legacy career. How do they make an impact? How do they leave a legacy in their community or in their world? And their needs, their values may be very different than when they were a 40 or 50-something year old professional. But it's never too late.
It is never too late. And I'll share a story. One of the gentlemen that I knew recently, he was laid off. And after he was laid off, the kids had gone through college and the urgency of making money was not there. And as we were discussing things, he mentioned that music was his passion. And he was definitely into playing drums and had this passion for that. And we were talking and just had a simple conversation and I asked him, what is it that's stopping you? And he started reflecting upon it. And after a couple of weeks when we met, he shared that, what's stopping me? I don't have to be young to be a rock star. I can still play for people who are older. And I said that you could play for the younger people too. What's there to stop? Just give it a shot. Give it a try. And as you mentioned, you know, it's about being realistic and being adaptive and being open to feedback, especially if you're making a change in the later phase of life, because there is so much that the younger generation knows. And if you're open to reverse mentoring, we could learn so much from them that life can be beautiful.
I love the concept of reverse mentoring. I happen to lead a team of amazing millennials at Indiana University, and they happen to be women, so I lead a team of extraordinary women, all of whom are 35 and under, so they are in that millennial generation range. And I'll tell you, they are smart, they have such passion, they're innovative, they're technically savvy, and I learn so much from them every day. So I have great admiration for the concept of reverse mentorship, and I encourage everybody to consider that.
Mm-hmm. And when we look at the economy, you know, especially there is this concept of shared economy going everywhere where new things are popping up. So for example, so many times, you know, people may not find the jobs that are going to last for 25, 30 years. Sometimes it could just be the contracts that are more popular in a certain industry because it's easier for a company to hire contractors and then let them go based on the projects. And still sometimes, you know, people may be seeking jobs that may give them more security rather than finding the satisfaction in the workplace. So in your experience, what is more important?
Well,
can
again,
you just have a job?
Right. Again, I can't say what's more important for the individual listening. That's got to be their decision based on their values. But let me reflect on what you just said, Divya. The world of work is changing so much. So that quintessential corporate job with the benefits package, with the bonus, with the retirement, you know, all the accoutrement that we love about the steady job is changing. And you're absolutely right. The concept of the gig economy, where even in corporate settings, subject matter experts are being brought in on a contract or a freelance or a consulting basis, means that we savvy job holders need to be aware of how that job market and that job economy is changing. So I will tell you, yes, if you absolutely want that industry-specific full-time job, they're still out there. But many of us have hybrid opportunities where we've got that day job and then we've got what we call that side hustle on the side, which is an entrepreneurial venture. And that is becoming commonplace. The idea of enhancing your income with residual income streams is becoming the norm. And I think in this innovative day and age, we are empowered in so many ways, whether it's letting out an Airbnb room in your house or being an Uber driver on the weekends or having a cottage industry or consulting practice. People are doing more than just one job.
As we are having this conversation, Caroline, I'm sure some of our listeners are thinking, yes, I have thought about transitioning out of my corporate job into entrepreneurship or have a part-time entrepreneurship and have a part-time corporate job. Yet sometimes they're still sitting there and thinking and reflecting whether they want to commit themselves. So how can they tell whether self-employment and entrepreneurship is for them?
Well, entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart, and I don't mean that in a physical sense. I mean the tenacity and the grit. It requires a lot of work, frankly, more than a 40-hour-a-week endeavor if you are lucky enough to have a job that requires so few hours. And there's a lot of risk involved, so you need to really run your numbers and figure out financially what your lifestyle is, what your savings are, how much you're willing to invest, and what your risk tolerance is. So it's not something to just pursue in a lighthearted way. Again, you really want to take a look at those values. And if you know, you have a particular style of living or expectation of salary, you better be careful if you're starting out as an entrepreneur, because in the beginning, you may earn nothing. It may take a lot of time for you to turn or return on that investment.
Great points, Caroline, and you said it, because it's so important to know the financials, having those numbers, because yes, passion is great. You want the passion to start the entrepreneurship, because without the passion, you're not going to get up in the morning with the fuel burning in your belly to move you forward during the daytime. However, it's also important to know that what are you going to do as far as your transition plan is concerned? So if you are in a good, secure job, figure out what's your execution plan, what's your action plan. Also looking at the support system. While you're still in the corporate world, you can go out there as a part-time entrepreneur and generate the support, create the network and the contacts that you need. So when you transition out fully, it is not something that's going to take you by surprise. It is something that you know what you're getting into it. And another one of the things that I've found from a few of my clients is that family support is very important. And you brought out a really great point about living the lifestyle you want. So, for example, you may be living a great lifestyle. Now, however, as you transition into entrepreneurship, it's possible you may have to cut back on different things. And if you have a family, it's great to sit down with them and go over the plans to make sure that you have their support.
Divya, I want to
add any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I love what you're saying, and I agree with you 100%. And what it makes me think about that I want to say out loud is that you don't need to do it alone. You know, I think there are a lot of very self-directed, ambitious, passionate people. I consider myself one of those. But one of my greatest lessons as an entrepreneur and as a career coach is you need not do it alone. So as you said, seek out the support of family and friends and seek out the expertise of others who can help you make that transition or get your business up and running. I think entrepreneurs often have the myth in mind that they need to go it alone, and nothing is farther from the truth. Very successful people ask for help, and they are successful because they ask for help.
That is absolutely true, because think about it. If somebody is already where you want to be, they have been down the path of obstacles, challenges. They have already faced those, and they have overcome those, and now they're at the place where you want to be. So if you were to take the mentorship and the sponsorship from them, what helps is they can take a look at your blind spots, turn it into assets. And what is happening is you are cutting short the time that would take you to be successful rather than you would be traveling alone. So how important is mentorship and what is sponsorship?
Oh my goodness. Well, mentorship and sponsorship are essential. So let me define the two for our listening audience. Mentors are individuals who have been there and done that, probably in your career field, because that's most often how and why we seek out mentors. They may be in your organization, but they may also be in another organization or perhaps a community organization where you're volunteer, for example. But a sponsor is definitely someone within your organization, most often of senior rank, who is not just the confidant and someone who will give you coaching and counsel. This sponsor will put their reputation on the line and say, Divya, you did such extraordinary work that I believe you have earned the opportunity for a promotion, and I'm going to put your name forward for this new role. So they are endorsing you because they trust the good work that you've done. So let me back up. You can ask for a mentor because it is a generous act for someone to serve as a mentor, but you cannot ask for a sponsor. You need to do great work and be recognized by a sponsor, and then they will seek you out to advance you. So just know you've got to be visible, you've got to be seen and heard, especially with the decision makers in your organization, so you can attract a sponsor with your good work.
I can definitely relate to that, and sponsors are also having somebody think about as if you were the sports team. And when you're playing good sports, your fans become your champions. They will go and defend you. And usually fans are loyal. However, to convert the fans into champions who are going to really stand up for you is about showing that performance. And as you said, it's about there may be several team members. However, only few get recognized. It's because of their demonstration of performance, their competencies, and also the behavioral and the interpersonal skills. That is so important. Do not forget about the relationships you build, because you could be very strong in your performance, but if your relationships are not great, people are not going to support you and not become your champions.
I would agree. And I want to add one other thing, Divya. You know, your passion and your show is all about confidence. And I think it's important for our listeners to understand, too, especially women, we need to focus on showcasing what we do well with humble confidence. And I say that, I use that phrase, because nobody likes a bragger. It's obnoxious and it's off-putting, especially in a professional environment. However, when you've earned accolades and you've done great work, you need to be able, with humble confidence, to talk about that and to own those achievements. Because if you are a well-kept secret in your work environment, then the sponsor cannot find you. So my point is, speak up in staff meetings. Seek out influencers in your workplace. Have those private conversations or be part of group conversations so you can be recognized for the good work that you're doing.
So true. And that brings me too, the phrase that I've heard is about the permission paradox. A lot of people have that. So share your thoughts on that and how can women overcome it.
So the permission paradox is very simply the age-old phenomenon of, I can't get the job because I don't have the experience. But how can I get the experience if I don't have a job? And it is truly a paradox because quite often we read the job description and we say, my goodness, I don't have all of these particular tasks at the ready. So let me share one. You can volunteer within your organization for certain projects if you're trying to sharpen a skill set. You can also volunteer in your community, and I'll give you a great example. When I, many years ago, served on a board of directors for a local theater company, I found myself in a leadership role on the development and fundraising board, and it was an extraordinary experience and also gave me tremendous access to learn about the financials and how that was involved in the organization. I was reading P&L sheets. I was learning about investments, which was really not something I did in any other facet of my job. Years later, when I took a leadership role at Indiana University, I had to manage a departmental budget. I had to manage salary numbers. So that volunteer experience helped me exponentially. And I am always grateful that I learned those transferable skills. So my point is, don't be frustrated because you don't have an experience. Seek it out and don't let the permission paradox stand in your way.
As we talk about jobs, careers, callings, passion, can you illustrate the difference between these?
Yeah, I love that. I love that question, Divya. You know, I've had many jobs as a young woman. I worked my way through university, waiting tables in a restaurant. It was good work. It was hard work. It was honest work. It was not a career. It was a job. It was a means to an end to earn money for me to help pay for my schooling. So that I would classify as a job, a way to just simply earn money. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have all been in those scenarios. And again, no judgment. A job that moves into a career might be something that you're more engaged in and something that you get excited to go to work every day, something where you're constantly learning. But perhaps you haven't found the exact fit in the organization or you haven't quite leveraged your strengths. So there's still room for growth, room for exploration, or perhaps room for transition. Again, nothing wrong with a career. If you're firing on all cylinders and are enjoying it, that's a good thing. But a calling is the ultimate experience because you really feel gratified. You're playing to your strengths 80% of the time. You know, it's the Pareto principle, 80-20 rule, where the majority of your time is really focused on things you do well and that you love to do and that gratify you. That's a calling, when you can leave work, even if there's a funky colleague or a bad boss, and say, I loved what I did today. I made a difference. That's a calling.
And whether it's a job, career, or a calling, it's so important to be recognized by who you are, being authentic. And when you're talking about being authentic, it's about creating the professional brand. How can people go about developing a professional brand?
Well, I like to call our professional brand the conversation that people have about you when you're not there. So if it's in the coffee break room at the organization or at the water cooler or in the copy room, what are they saying about you professionally when you're not there? And if they are singing your praises and talking about the great work that you do and you feel like it represents you well, then your brand is spot on. But if not, it's time to do a brand audit. And by that, I encourage our listeners to seek out people who they know and trust in their organization to say, what is the perception of me professionally in the workplace? What value do you think I add to the organization? And if it's misaligned, then you need to take control and put the correct story that you want others to know about you out into the world. and lead with what value you bring to the organization and lead with what you want people to believe about you and say about you when you're not there. It's really that simple.
Great insight. So for those who have read your book, This Is Not the Career I Ordered, what's new about the second edition?
Well, you know, I chronicled amazing women who have gone through a career transition or reinvention. And Divya, some were by choice and some were by necessity. And I'll define necessity. The first book was written a few years after the Great Recession, and many women were let go or downsized because their companies either folded or merged or there was an acquisition. So that is a necessity. You reinvent because you have to. So it was wonderful many years ago chronicling these women. And then the second edition shows where are they now? And it just helps every reader understand that we continually change. It's not one and done. Career reinvention is a lifelong process, a lifelong journey. Some women are on completely different paths than they were in the first edition. And then I was very honored to add some additional stories. But what I really love about the book is not only living those reinvention stories with those extraordinary women, but I was able to weave in some very specific coaching tools for anyone listening so they can have a career coach at their disposal by reading the book and learning the pedagogy and the strategy behind career development, because it is a process and anyone can put that into practice.
That's fantastic. I'm probably going to go ahead and order. Not probably. I'm going to go ahead and order it after we get off the call.
I want to share one thing, because I had such great joy in recording the audiobook as well. And I'll tell you, I love, love, love to read. But like so many of us, I am time starved and I don't always prioritize reading the book in hand. However, I have prioritized listening to books, because I can listen to books when I'm exercising or when I'm driving or when I'm walking my dogs, and it's a pleasant experience. So the book is also available in the audiobook version, and I'm narrating. So you get your own personal career coach, and you can listen to me read the book if that is desirable.
How did you divine my thoughts, Caroline? Because I usually love to listen to audiobooks when I'm driving around the kids. It's so much time saving and it's just amazing. You can almost finish a book within 3 to 4 days when you're driving around or when you're going about your ways and doing running errands.
I agree. And it's entertaining. And I feel like it's a delight to have someone read to you.
Mm-hmm. What are the ways, if our listeners wanted to access your career and professional development content online, how can they go about it?
Divya, the simplest way is for them to go to my website, and you were so gracious to announce at the beginning. It is www.carolinedowdhiggins.com. You can also Google me at Caroline Dowd Higgins, and I promise many, many things will pop up. I am happy to report that I am very discoverable online. I have a blog, I have a podcast, I have a video series, and I write a lot. My new Huffington Post piece just went live today, and it's about grit and tenacity in our career. So I hope that so many of the free resources that I share will be useful to your wonderful listening audience.
Thank you for sharing that. And what is the one thing you want the listeners to take away from today's conversation?
The most important thing that I want all of you to know is that a career reinvention is possible. You deserve to be happy, and you should really design your career destiny so it doesn't happen by default. Sometimes we are in organizations or careers where we just get stuck in the monotony and the routine, and you deserve to be gratified in your career. So don't wait. Think about what you need and what you want, because you deserve it, and come up with a plan to activate that. Even if it's a baby step, I hope you move forward in some incremental way every day.
That is an awesome insight and definitely to be taken to heart. Caroline, it's been such a pleasure and privilege to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Divya, thank you, and thank you for all the incredible work that you do. It was an honor for me to be with you.
The listeners, you have joined us, and I really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for joining us and listening on. Please do share. If there's anything that you need from me, I'm here to serve you. Thank you, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Until next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, be powerful and take care.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Parekh shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyaparekh.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.